All right. So, question of the day.
Shoot.
What is hybrid training?
So, I look at hybrid training. Oh, fuck, man. It makes me laugh because it's like, I look at hybrid training the way I look at like fusion restaurants. Okay. It's like, hey, we're going to do a bunch of different like styles of food, but we're not going to do any of them well. So it's like, if you need to compromise and like your girl wants Italian, but you want Japanese, we'll go to this fusion place and we'll both be dissatisfied.
Right? Like the worst.
But that's what, like, when I hear hybrid training, it's like, oh, so you're mediocre at like a few types of lifting.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of CrossFit though?
It's, dude, yes.
Is this just another way to brand? I mean, because I look at a lineage, like a chronological order of this style of training. Like, yes. Hybrid training is not new because it's CrossFit.
No.
CrossFit was not new because that was just circuit training.
Yeah, there's no new strength and conditioning phase, you know, or fad on the market.
Exactly. Hybrid, the shake weight was probably like the biggest thing.
Oh, dude, I have some overhead squat videos with the shake weight.
I don't doubt that you do.
Check that out.
But yeah, hybrid training is
like saying, I'm an indecisive lifter, so I'm going to do a little bit. I'm going to dabble in powerlifting. I'm going to dabble in weightlifting. I'm going to dabble in circuit training. Yeah. In gymnastics.
Bodybuilding. I'm going to do allows me to do snatches and bicep curls in the same program, and it makes some sort of sense.
It's like, I'm a CrossFitter at heart, but I don't really like to work that hard.
Okay, you think, so you think they're like, they're beneath you. Hybrid.
I don't think it's like a hierarchy.
Fuck it, I'm saying it on the record. Junta thinks you're all pussies.
I think a lot of people are pussies. But that has a lot more to do with your lifestyle than how you train.
Sure. All right, so episode 18. This one's big because it's personal. It's personal now because it's, not many people know this, and you and maybe like two or three other people. So before my last meet, I shredded my fucking hamstrings. Like, my left hamstring, and we'll put a picture of this up, was like black and blue. I think it was like 12 days out, maybe a little bit longer. It was like smack dab in between the two meets I did. So like 14 days after one meet, 14 days before the other, shredded my hamstring. So this brought up like a bit of a conundrum. It's like, okay, what do I do? I'm not gonna back out because I only got into the meet because so many other people got hurt. And I said, hey, I don't get hurt. And then I fucking got hurt. Because, like, I literally, you know what happened? I've
been saying that for weeks,
right,
now.
I was listening to the podcast we did about, shit, I forget what it was, but we were talking about, like, injury prevention. And I was listening to it the day after. And I literally said on this podcast, I'm going to pay for this shit. And sure enough, shredded my hamstring. But I think it brings up a good point because I did compete, was able to hit the numbers I wanted. Injury management as opposed to injury prevention.
Right.
We can lacrosse ball. Yeah, exactly. Shit fucking happens. Yeah. Like, we can sit here on the clinical side and be like, do this, that, the other, and nothing will ever happen. But I think we both have like clinician on one shoulder, athlete on the other, and they just have this like subliminal warfare of like, well, you know, research has said, and the other one's like, shut up and grab weight,
the damn ball.
And so that's what happened. I think that guy won and my hamstring lost, and then the other guy was like, fuck, now I need to pick up the pieces. So let's talk about picking up the pieces. So you finished a workout, oh fuck, I'm hurt, now what?
Okay, first step I think is actually knowing if you're hurt. Knowing, I have so many people come into my office,
slow
and
clap,
say, this hurts. I'm like, well, do you know what pain is? Is this pain or is this discomfort? Is, you know, we just did a bunch of deadlifts on Monday and then we did front squats today. Is your back just tight and it's like, you know, on fire?
Yeah.
It's really uncomfortable because you've been stressing these muscles out a lot?
Yeah.
Or did you fuck up a disc? Did you sprain an SI joint? Like, is there an actual injury or are you just uncomfortable?
I think really good athletes have an ability to internalize that process. Like, I mean, we see really similar patient base, and I think ours are more cognizant of it than most because we see a lot of athletes. I used to work in a corporate setting. Those people have no idea.
No.
They think life is suffering. By definition, the existence of conscious life is suffering.
Man, that's such a potent point because people ask me all the time, they're like, I have this pain here. Is that normal? Like, no, pain is never a normal sensation.
Yeah.
Pain is your body telling you something is wrong.
Yeah.
And then whether they're perceiving that discomfort as pain or if it's actually pain, but either way, there's something wrong. You shouldn't be in constant discomfort or constant pain.
And that's
pain.
The thing. Constant, I think, leads to a time frame too.
Yes.
Like, there's transient stuff that comes and goes that for me is never enough to sound the alarm.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that hurt for like 5 minutes and then went away, or like a day or two and it goes away.
Yeah.
But I think really being able to internalize that process of like, okay, this is just discomfort or this is pain, mm-hmm. is something almost exclusive to athletes, because they have pushed themselves to such a level of discomfort. Like you say, like CrossFit hurts a lot. Like that was one of the first episodes we talked about CrossFit. Like, yeah, it fucking hurts. It's really uncomfortable, I think. By definition, it can hurt if you cross that threshold, but it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Injuries hurt. Discomfort is just, mm-hmm. but because you push that threshold of discomfort so high with the workouts you do, that you know that difference. You know the upper ceiling of discomfort when it lends way to pain. It's like, okay, this is not good. This is not okay.
Yeah, and even those sensations that we feel in CrossFit, you can push them as far as they go, and that is just maximal discomfort. We describe it as pain because, you know, we're all a little bit dramatic sometimes, especially when we're dying from a workout. But that will never become pain unless you have an injury.
Yeah.
Then that's when discomfort kind of switches over and it becomes pain.
Injury, a biomechanical representation of injury is applied force greater than tissue tolerance.
Right.
Simple as that. So if you think about that, and the word tissue is not used sort of haphazardly there. Tissue can be anything. That refers to meniscus, discs, ligaments, tendons, muscles, bones. Each one of those has their own specific tolerance for load.
Yes.
So, you could load up a bone a lot heavier than you can load up a tendon. The tendon will snap first, so it's finding out what that rate limiter is. But when you cross that threshold from pain or discomfort to pain, knowing that okay, you're in pain, because it's like there's no pride in working out or working or just competing with a true injury. I think
that is such a good point, and people take that, they wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah,
like, oh dude, my knee's so swollen it looks like a fucking water balloon. I'm just gonna get on this bar and keep squatting.
Yeah,
and they think that makes them tough. No, that just makes you dumb,
fucking idiot. So like I looked at San Jose Sharks, so keeping it local, Joe Thornton, I guess, just found out today. I mean, it's the playoffs, there's a lot of money on the line, but they just got kicked out by the Edmonton Oilers, and the one of their best players was playing with like a torn ACL and like medial meniscus. So great, dude, you lost two games and you probably put yourself out for another extra 10 weeks in the off season.
Yeah.
So it's like, even from a monetary value standpoint, it's like you've now just cost your team more. You're not passed, and now you can't golf either. So good job. Okay. So let's get in. Let's talk like, assessment. Okay. Like, where do you start? I mean, that's where I would start as far as like, you got hurt, what are you going to do? Step one.
Right. So the first thing is figuring out what's hurt, kind of narrowing in on it, so you know specifically what things you need to avoid, what things you can still do, and how we're going to treat that area, whether it's muscular, whether it's tendinous, whether it's bone. You know, like you said, maybe it's connective tissue, something like a meniscus or a disc, something like that.
So you're telling me your first point of contact isn't going to your physician and getting 800 milligrams of ibuprofen and getting told to just not move?
No, that is oh my God. It just,
I mean, if we had a dollar for every time we heard that, we probably wouldn't have student loans.
Yeah. If you're taking ibuprofen, Advil, whatever, Tylenol on a daily basis, there's something wrong. We need to take a step back and reassess the bigger picture here.
But that is the conventional model, right? People get hurt, that's usually their first point of contact. Go to a GP, general practitioner, and he's going to say,
stop doing what you're doing. Rest for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Take these pills, and then, come on back in. If you're not in pain, then I did my job.
Yeah. Done deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Like, whereas we look at it, step number one, assessment. Yeah. The tissues involved.
Right.
For me, kind of clear that it was my hamstring. Why? Because the back of the knee on the medial side is where you're going to find two of your hamstring muscles. Exactly. So there is an underlying sort of value in knowing your anatomy too, because it's like you can't just overgeneralize. Like the knee can get pretty complex, for example, the shoulder can get pretty complex. But if it's like mid-belly of the muscle, it's safe to say it's probably that muscle, right? So assessment first. Okay, so use my case for example. Torn hamstring. That was evident to people walking behind me in the grocery store with the amount of like blood coming to the surface. Mm-hmm. This guy has torn something in the back of his leg, probably hamstring.
And that alone is a telltale sign of actual injury. It's bruising, redness, swelling, all those things.
Blood in your body, when it's in a place it's not supposed to be, is actually pro-inflammatory. It's an irritant. Like, that's basically what a bruise is. It's like more blood to get rid of blood that's in a place where blood shouldn't be. Right? So superficiality of like a tear is just blood somewhere where it's not supposed to be. And then that's what swelling is. That's what causes the heat. And then that's what causes the inflammation, discoloration. It's just like more blood is like, oh, it's on fire. Hold, let's grab more fire. Let's put this shit out. Okay. So we've assessed it. In my case, torn hamstring.
Yeah.
Where do we go from there?
So, I mean, the assessment, I don't think we touched on this yet, was something like active versus passive range
sure.
of motion.
Sure. So that's, let's right. differentiate then. You're not sure. It's not something as clear as like middle of the hamstring. It's at the knee. How do you tell if it's a muscle or it's a ligament or a tendon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you differentiate between that?
Right. So that's the active versus passive range of motion. If we're moving, say, you know, our hamstring, if we're flexing that hamstring, bring that heel to our butt, and we feel pain with that, then that's a good indication that what we're doing is muscular or tendinous, right? As we're putting stress in that muscle and tendon, it's causing pain.
So like you yourself are standing there flexing your hamstring.
Yes.
If you feel pain, then it's more likely like a muscular issue.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If that's active.
Right. That's active. And if that does not cause pain, then what we're going to do is we're going to go to passive range of motion.
So I'm going to come in, I'm going to grab your leg. Yeah. I'm going to put it through your knee through flexion extension.
Exactly.
Causes pain.
Causes
then we're thinking,
pain. Then we're testing the structural elements of the joint. So it's more so ligamentous.
Ligaments. Yeah.
Right? That connective tissue. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Are you dealing with muscle? Are you dealing with ligament? And I mean, if it's a fracture, then go get a damn X-ray.
And that's the thing. This is like, I mean, we are doctors and we play it on podcasts as well. But like each one of these levels should have somewhat of an escape rope to like go see your nearest medical professional.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
it's
we're not
all
saying like,
assessment.
Like, oh yeah, here, this is how we do like an appendectomy. Just grab a steak knife and do it yourself. But there is a certain inherent value as an athlete to knowing when to sound the alarm, when to sort of go down one of those escape ropes to get yourself into an office. And frankly, it saves us from having the conversation of like, in our heads, like, oh God, this person's not really in pain. So it's like, this is a good way to differentiate pain and discomfort. So if you go through this and you know, like, okay, it's a muscular issue.
Yes.
It's active. It's painful with active, not painful with passive. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is something I can manage more or less on my own or co-manage with the chiropractor, physio, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of shift into the next step, we'll say, is inflammation.
Okay.
The traditional, you know, go see your MD, what they're going to tell you versus how we kind of deal with it.
Rice.
Have you guys heard that before?
Rest, ice, compression, elevation.
Exactly. That's to decrease the inflammation.
That's after they've given you 800 megs of ibuprofen,
yes.
Which to me, it's like once you have 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, like going systemically in your body. Rest, ice, compression, elevation are such a moot point as far as like, that's like, okay, we're going into war. Here's a 12 gauge shotgun and here's some like rocks and a slingshot. It's like, dude, coming in with like such a biochemical mediator of inflammation, such as ibuprofen, and then telling someone to like wrap an ice pack around their foot and like hold it up above their heart is like, okay, it doesn't really fucking matter at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So rest.
A couple things that I think we should talk about here are that inflammation, and then the other part, like you just said, is the rest. So inflammation, there's two types of inflammation that we want to address is acute inflammation. So short term, you know, I just tore my hamstring.
Yeah.
It's, you know, retaining a little bit of
storm
fluid.
Coming.
Yeah, there's something going on there. Or sort of like that inflammation, you know, chronic knee inflammation where every single day we wake up, our knee fucking hurts.
And that's your tendonitis, right? Like
exactly.
That's essentially what the diagnosis of any sort of itis is. It's like, we don't really know what's going on. There's some inflammation, been there for a while.
Yeah.
Because I think the big division there, acute is a good thing.
Yes. Acute inflammation is the healing process.
Necessary.
Yeah. That's what your body's doing. It's trying to heal. Trying to get better.
But like, I think chronic inflammation is just a stasis of residual inflammation left over from a poorly managed acute injury.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
very well said.
Measures of managing inflammation in the acute stage. So how long will you give it? Because I think we differ a bit on this. So like rest, I think was something we'll talk about a little later, but ice.
Yeah.
Ice is a form of, I mean, we look at this two ways, and this is how most people look at ice, I think. Because you can go with the right confirmation bias online and find whatever confirmatory research you want to find on ice, whether you're pro or against it. But it, to me, it's either there's anti-inflammatory effects just because it, I mean, the physiology of being cold.
Vasoconstriction.
Exactly, right? So it's going to sort of put the foot on the hose and get shit out of there. But B, nervous system, pain.
Yeah.
Right? So it's an analgesic to get rid of pain. What is your take on, like, timing of ice? So you're me. You shred your hamstring under a squat. Fuck, tomorrow's going to suck. Are you icing that, like, on the way home from the gym?
No.
Is
the
okay.
short answer for that. In my mind, compression is a more valuable way to deal with inflammation
okay.
than ice will be every time on that actual chemical level of having that inflammation there.
Okay.
So I think it's good to flush that out,
yeah.
flush everything out. It's just basically putting your venous system, your lymphatic system on steroids, right? We're forcing it. Yeah.
Fist pump to that.
Yeah.
Right.
We're forcing that stuff out of there. We're forcing that venous
yeah.
drainage. And then as soon as we let that circulation come back to normal, we're going to get that inflammation back,
okay.
but it's going to be, you know, kind of a fresh batch of blood,
okay.
fresh batch of everything. It's going to allow it to bring in that oxygen, bring in that nutrients. And then once all that stuff's, you know, used up, we'll
yeah.
say, flush it right out
okay.
and then get it back in.
So you go bouts of like, I mean, it sounds, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and,
yeah.
and maybe I sit on the other side of the fence with you, but like that to me is how I would use ice. Right? The idea that, like, I mean, I won't go
yeah.
ice, like, just ice it for the rest of the night. 20 on, 20 off, or contrast.
Yeah.
Having that same sort of physiological effect on the circulatory system of, like, vasoconstrict, vasodilate, get in with the old, out with the new. Do you suggest compression in smaller bouts like that? Like, you throw on, like, a floss band or
yeah.
something. How long is that staying on there for? Or are you throwing on, like, a compressive sleeve or something like that?
In my opinion, I'd rather a floss band for about a minute at a time.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, once every hour.
Okay. All right.
As opposed to contrast therapy. You mentioned that. I like
yeah.
that. That's a better, in my mind, that principle works better than just throwing some ice on and taking it
off. It just doesn't make sense. Like, to me, the best research article ever done is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Because it's non-polar, right? Like, you have people are just, they research just ice. It's like, no, you gotta ice it. And someone researches just heat. Like, no, you gotta heat it. And it's like, why doesn't some fucker just sit down to the middle bowl of porridge and be like, this one's just right? Like, that's my just like internal logical consistency with ice and heat is like, you know, you can find research some on the other. And some, but most people are like, what do you think about ice? It's like, yeah, I mean, whatever. It's there if you want to find, like, the mechanism makes sense and the analgesic effect of the nervous system and all that. But it's like, well, I've read this research that said heat. It's like, okay, then yeah, you, there's this research on this that says this and you can do that.
Yeah.
But what about the stuff on ice? It's like, dude, what do you want from me, man? Just do both. Shit. Get out of here. So I really like that idea. But basically, I guess what we're saying in the initial effect is we're trying to, I guess, not promote circulation. Well, yeah, promote circulation.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with the intent of getting rid of inflammation, but just maybe having a higher turnover of blood volume to that area that we otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, I like that.
Because in with the good, out with the bad, I think is sort of like the real point of the first. Let's define acute.
Okay.
Because I think that's, I mean, you talked about the difference between acute and chronic inflammation.
Right.
What would you identify from a time frame, whether it be hours or days, as an acute phase of injury?
In this sort of thing, we're talking about sporting injury, I'd say probably about the first 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on
board
with that.
That's a very short term. Chronic, not saying that after that it turns right into chronic.
Yeah.
Chronic
the subacute phase. There's that. There's that one too.
Yeah.
I remember a textbook and I was like, really, is this necessary? Okay. But that's like, I mean, up to like 2 weeks, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, chronic to me wouldn't be anything past that.
Yeah.
Especially for an athletic population where if you think about the turnover of blood volume on the whole, if you're athletic, you are used to circulating your blood a lot more, I mean, through your body throughout the run of the day than someone that otherwise wouldn't. So that normal 6 to 8 weeks,
yeah,
that like a non-athletic population is going to hear from their physician, I think gets accelerated because how much like metabolism we go through,
yeah,
in such a shorter period of time. So I would say anything past 2 weeks, you're looking at something chronic. Okay, so we were through the ice thing. We have a consensus on that.
Yeah, our consensus is who fucking cares.
But I mean, I think the underlying principle of both is sound. You're trying to increase circulation one,
yeah,
way or another, whether that's by decreasing it, with ice, decreasing it with compression, and then promoting it thereafter is some sort of like super compensation effect to that restrictive sort of medium that we're putting in. But the idea is address inflammation, but don't chemically address inflammation, at least in the acute phase.
Yes.
That first 2 days, I mean, inflammation is full of things that are there to help regenerate the healing or generate the healing process. So there is an inherent value in it. So to do yourself, or you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you were just like, fuck it, get rid of it by any means necessary kind of thing.
Right. All right. Let's kind of segue this into how do we progress back into training?
Okay.
You know, we've had an injury. We've done that assessment. We kind of know what's going on. Mm. What's the first step to getting back to training?
Okay. So we talked about like rice. Right. But we really only talk about ice and compression. Yep. And instead we talk about rest later. Cause I think rest rest is bullshit, frankly. Cause it is. I mean, if you are things in motion, stay in motion, that's Newtonian, right? Like things at rest will stay at rest. I think to take an athlete from, you know, 100 miles an hour and drop them down to zero is doing at least their injury. Like you're putting them behind the eight ball. So I always replace the R rest in rice with range of motion.
Okay.
Right. So we've gone through active and passive range of motion to see, is it painful actively? Okay. It could be a muscle. So we use it more as an assessment, but now let's talk about instating full range of motion of the muscle of the joint. And it's not just full range of motion of the exercise. My knee, I tore my shit up when I was squatting. Okay. Hamstring. Let's stick with the theme of my left hamstring. I tore mine squatting. So for me, an objective outcome from a range of motion was, okay, can I squat again? Can I load the hamstring in a squat? And that, you know, the knee flexion extension, hip flexion extension. Got to, you know, within a couple of days, that's what I was progressing towards. But actively, I mean, it was a muscle issue, right? So it was painful. So what I did first, after I assessed using passive and active, I sort of employ this, and physical therapists sort of base the rehabilitation off this, is passive range of motion first. Right? Can I go through passive range of motion, no pain? Yes. So I just got my joints used to going through. So I sit down on a chair, heel up on like a desk chair, something with wheels, and then just lift your leg up, put it down, lift your leg up, and put it down. So my knee is going through flexion extension. My hip is going through relative flexion extension, but it's not doing it actively. Once I could do that with no pain, then I stood up. Then I tried to like kick myself in the butt. So reinstate the full range of motion at the knee and at the hip actively. So for
me, actively, not under load.
Though. Exactly. And that's the thing. There's active assisted, active, and then active resisted. So the progression as a whole will be passive, active assisted, active resisted. Mm-hmm. Active resisted is your back. You're back with weights on Absolutely. Your back again. So that would be my first step as far as like reintroducing back into working out is body weight stuff first. Start passive range of motion, make sure that's reinstated, full range, pain free. Mm-hmm. Then we graduate on to active assisted. So the same thing with the chair where I was lifting it up and then putting it down. The next thing I would do was just pull the chair in actively with my heel. So kind of sitting on the couch, put up the computer chair in front of me, pull the chair into the couch, kick it out. Pull it in, kick it out. Fantastic. So now I'm active assisted. Then moving on from there, pure active, body weight squat, right? Body weight active. And then my next progression back to that, weights, test it out. But let's talk.
Perfect. I actually want to weigh in on the rest before we move on.
Okay.
So rest to me, I will tell, you know, my athletes, my patients to rest. But what I mean by rest isn't the traditional sense of rest. Right?
So we'll take... You're telling them to go on like a vacay, like an all-inclusive.
Exactly. I'm not saying...
4 days in Cabo.
Go home for 6 to 8 weeks and don't do shit.
I hear pina coladas are great for this.
That's what people think when they hear rest.
Yeah.
When I hear rest,
yeah.
I mean rest that specific area. So if it's you and it's your, what was your right hamstring?
Left.
Left hamstring. So it's your left hamstring. You're still going to be doing everything that you can do while avoiding resisted or just... active range of motion on that left hamstring. Okay. So if I tell you we're going to rest that hamstring, we're going to rest that hamstring. That doesn't mean you have to rest in general.
I like the designation.
And that's, it might be a little different from my sport to yours because CrossFit, there's a fucking million things you can be doing even if you're not doing squats or deadlifts, yeah. right? So you can be doing strict pull-ups. You can be doing planks. You can be doing core work.
Yeah.
Stuff like that where you're not activating that hamstring,
yeah.
and you can still be going through the process you talked about.
Sure.
This passive range of motion.
I fucking love that, out, man. I yeah. love that.
Yeah.
Rest the hamstring.
Rest the hamstring, yeah. Don't rest everything.
And then I think a lot of people intend what you just said, but just they leave out the designation of the specific area. Like, okay, we're going to rest.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fuck, I'm calling the boss. Yeah. The doctor said to take a rest.
Exactly.
I'm
going to
binge watch Breaking Bad again for the seventh time.
Yeah, so what I think of when I tell someone that we're going to rest, maybe it is 6 to 8 weeks because
sure.
there's, I mean, it's pretty known facts that it's going to take, especially a severe injury, 6 to 8 weeks to fully recover.
Yeah.
Right? But even if it is on that worst side where we do need that much time.
Yeah. And it is severity dependent too.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. That doesn't mean that we're just going to be stagnant for that amount of time.
Yeah.
You're still going to be moving. You're still going to be doing things. All right. Your legs, you know, one of your legs is out of commission. Let's get your upper body strong as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's get your midline as stable as we can. Your shoulders as stable as we can. So that they're non-issues down the road and
yeah.
we can just work on rehabbing that hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple phrases I like. One, pain is knowledge really fast, right? So if you think about the hamstring as like something I need to reevaluate, and we'll talk about this later, either my prehab or programming.
Yeah.
And that became abundantly apparent when my hamstring started fucking yelling at me.
Yeah.
So pain is knowledge really fast, and sometimes life periodizes for you.
Okay.
So I'm a huge fan, because like what you said, right? Okay, we're going to rest the hamstring. But your shoulder stability and overhead positioning has been dog shit lately. So guess what? We got 6 to 8 weeks to fucking hone in on that.
Yeah, use that to shift your priority.
Yeah.
Priority.
And I think too, especially dealing with top end lifters, is this is all physical health, right? You take someone like us that like, most mornings I wake up and it's like, well, at least I can work out today. Especially after just paying taxes. It's like, okay, what am I going to train? But there's a mental health side to working out.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people, like people that get injured and that's their livelihood or that's like their passion. If you take someone like that, put him into Kaiser Permanente with the guy with the white lab coat that can't bench his body weight and go, okay, rest for 8 weeks. Fuck you. You might as well kill him. Like you might as well just like pull the plug on that guy right now. Cause from a psychological standpoint, that's you're decapitating the guy's soul when you say that. Right. And so I think offering patients that option of like, listen, rest the hamstring, life's not over, you still go to the gym, that process you go in every day, that ritual of getting ready, pack up your shit, get in the car, listen to your music and all that. I think that plays such an underlying fact, just something like morale, right? Being in good spirits, being in a positive place. And I'm not too metaphysical, I'm not too like hippie dude, but being happy helps, right? So getting
fuck
to,
yeah.
right? So getting to train, I think really helps reinstate people's, like confidence, so that when they do get back to the gym, they're not really getting back to anything. They've been there the entire time. Because the last thing you want to do as an athlete is hesitate, because that's when shit goes wrong. So if you can keep them training, keep them in the gym, then when they are physiologically better, they're mentally as strong as they were when they got injured.
Yeah. If not stronger from taking that time and just kind of reevaluating,
yeah.
lowering the stress levels. You know, you're not stressing. I have to hit these squat numbers today.
Exactly.
You know, you're just like, all right, just some accessory work, but at least I'm moving. I'm happy with that.
And I'm going to put a lot of onus here on athletes that get injured. Like, there's no pride in it. Like, there's no pride in grinding out, like, you know, that set of squats with the stupid blown out knee. Like,
yeah.
And I think there's like, I don't know if social media is a part of it. Like, oh, bro, like he's so tough because he fucking, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's bullshit. But making sure you are self-aware because of doing more harm than good. Right.
Yeah.
Like you want to be,
absolutely.
You want to, a true athlete wants to get back to it as quickly as possible. Knowing that an extra rep or an extra 10 pounds or whatever is going to put them further away from doing it. I think, I don't want to say dumb athlete, but like someone that maybe not be, have like as passionate a view for what they're doing understands that scope of like time. It's like, okay, if I stop now, I'll be back in 2 weeks instead of if I keep going,
yeah.
I'll be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for that. Definitely. You want to pass this into our last point today of that sort of prehab versus rehab.
Okay.
Where we could talk about sort of a micro versus macro injury management.
So this is like, fuck man, I feel so stupid. Like when I listened to that podcast after I got hurt and I was like, no shit, no wonder I got hurt. So the meet I did in Australia was 28 days before the meet I did in San Diego, which is bad programming. That's the dumbest thing. Like, dude, I've been peaking for 4 months, and then I turn around 3 days later, or after flying back from Australia, and say, oh, I got to squat heavy again. Because the last thing my body wants to do is squat heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the difference. It's like you use the words prehab and rehab and macro and micro, and I think they're almost synonymous, where you can do things on the day-to-day, right? Like, your mobility drills, your stability work, lacrosse ball stuff, you know, get adjusted, get soft tissue work, go see your chiro, go see your physio, massage therapist. You can do all those micro things from a day to day to prevent injury. But if those are just little logs in a torrent of bad programming, dude, it's a matter of time before that train comes down the fucking track, right?
Absolutely. So, you can't out prehabs. Shitty
programming
habits. We'll call it habits, because it's not just programming. It's, you know, maybe you have a terrible squat technique, you know, you just don't understand the concept of spinal stability overhead. Like, you can do all the foam rolling you want, but those concepts, those things that you're doing wrong day after day, you're on track to get hurt.
Well, it's funny. You said it really well. I forget what the episode was. I've been using it in my office ever since. The phrase where you talked about pain as the last symptom to appear and the first one to go away.
Yeah.
I've been using that like every week since. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
But like, and I think it's true. If you think about like a graph, draw like a line 3/4 of the way up, and that's threshold for pain. And it's like one thing I'll hear all the time with people that get injured is like, I don't understand. I didn't do anything different that day. It's like, yeah, because you haven't been doing anything different for that day or the day before that or the 6 months before that.
Exactly.
You just had your set sight on this summit, and then that's the day you reached it. That's the day you crossed the threshold.
Exactly.
So
people think because they know how to do something, that means that they know how to do something well.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And even yourself and myself, we're pretty high level at the things we could do.
Yeah.
We could be better.
Oh, absolutely.
At every aspect of everything that we could do, we could always be better.
Yeah.
And if you're not always striving for that, if you get in that zone where you're comfortable with where you're at, that's, you know, that could be a sign itself that you're on track to injury, because you're not taking a step back, looking at yourself and assessing, all right, what's going wrong? What here can be better?
Yeah. And then something's going to force you to take a step back.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so we look at like the micro and the macro, the short term versus like the long term, the oversight it takes. So taking a step back from, you know, maybe not even just your programming, but your execution of exercises, your selection, your ordering of exercises. So say you get hurt. Now we need to go from that prehab to rehab. So through, I mean, that's kind of what I think we touched on a little bit there as far as managing in the acute phase. Now let's finish off about getting back into loading.
Yeah.
Like getting back into that, back into exercise. So how do you take someone who's, you know, range of motion's reinstated, pain is all but gone. Now it's like, okay, let's get back to the weights. Cause I think a lot of people are so eager, like, put me in, coach, put me out there, I'm ready to go. And it's like, okay, we can't just jump back up from 0 to 60 now. How do you talk about bringing an athlete from an injury back into like 100%?
Yeah, this is kind of a tricky situation, especially it varies case to case. But the big thing is just exactly what you said. We have to ease back into it, right? First, we'll work just range of motion, and we'll do small tests, small progressions to get you back to where you were. But we're going to do that over maybe 3-4 weeks, right? We're not going to do it all this week, you know.
Yeah.
It's not you're cleared,
you're good.
All right, let's load it up 90% back squat. No, it's all right, let's start off. Remember, you're not what you used to be before this injury right now. We're gonna build you up, you're gonna be that and more, but we have to do it in, you know, in due time. It's a process.
I think the biggest thing that I try and drive home is a progression of stimulus, that their injury was in fact a ceiling. Right? That is as strong as they could have been in the positions that they were putting themselves in on like a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
That was your ceiling. the idea now is we've now hopefully pushed that ceiling further, that threshold further than it otherwise was. So it's stating that there's a potential for more strength to be had here now that, you know, this knowledge was made aware to us really, really fast. You got it hurt. Now we know that there was an underlying either pathology or an underlying problem with programming or mobility, stability, exercise selection, whatever. Now we need to progress stimulus to get you past the point to where you were. And I use the word stimulus very carefully because it's like that stimulus can be weight, stimulus can be volume, stimulus can be time under tension or tempo. So we're not just looking at weight as the almighty, or even like exercise selection, right? Shoulder athletes, you're not going to go put them right overhead right after a shoulder injury, right? So even if the progression is something is, and I do this with a lot of bodybuilders or Olympic lifters, people that are trying to press overhead and they've sustained some sort of injury that we need to then bring them back to that position. Adjustable height benches, beautiful, easy. All right, let's go flat dumbbell 1 week on a flat, no pain, good. Kick it up 10, 15 degrees. Keep the same weight. Kick it up another 15 degrees after. So not only are you changing that stimulus of range of motion, as you move greater towards the overhead, that range of motion becomes longer. The tempo then becomes longer. If the range of motion is longer, the time under tension is longer. The weight then feels heavier. I mean, I can't overhead press what I can bench. But if we take, 30 pounds, okay, easy. I can do 30 pounds. Okay, let's keep 30 pounds. Let's go to a 15 degree incline next week with 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay, good. No pain? Or say there is pain. Yeah, pain on the last set. Okay, do it again next week. You know, just stick with your rehab exercises, and then next week we'll go up to 45, whatever. And until we're at like a full overhead, you've given them something to strive for every week, but the progression wasn't weight. The progression was stimulus.
Yeah, I like it.
I'll just take it.
Yeah. So those are the steps that, we have for injury management. It's, it can be a long process. It doesn't have to be a complicated process though, right? It's just following the steps, kind of cutting back on the ego and, taking it in stride. Whatever you need to be doing at that point in time, do that. Don't worry about what's in the future.
Shit happens. I mean, these are two people. We make a living, not a great living, but a living nonetheless. Telling people how to not be in this situation. Yes. Like that's, and prevention is the cure.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like a hypocrite because I do that. And then all of a sudden, but you have to realize if you're really pushing at the highest level, shit happens. So absolutely. Understanding the steps of like knowing the difference between pain and discomfort, assessing, being able to assess passive, active, is it structural? Is it muscular? Is it soft tissue? Okay, then where do I go from there? Can I self-manage this? What's my range of motion like? Addressing and controlling acute inflammation, making sure it doesn't go chronic. Compression, the difference between rest and reinstating range of motion. So following all these steps, and then when you're ready, going through that progression. I mean, it is a process. Just like getting strong is a process, right? Like you gotta stick to the fucking program. Like you're not gonna go out one day like, oh, I feel pretty good, I'm gonna hit PR squats. That's not how getting strong works. So you bought into a system of either getting strong or getting more athletic, getting more fit, understanding that it's a continuum. You just need to apply that mindset with a different objective outcome in mind. Yeah. Okay, now my goal isn't to, get in better shape or run a quicker mile or bench more, understanding that all of those individually take time. Now my objective outcome is getting healthier, getting out of pain and stopping me from being in pain in the future. So if you can apply the mindset that you apply to your training, regardless of what the outcome of that training is, to your rehabilitation, you'll be just as successful, if not more successful, in your rehab, therefore making you more successful in the thing that you're training for in the first place.
Absolutely.
That's it. I'm out of breath. That's all I gotta say. Because injury management is so huge because I think people put so much stake in injury prevention that it's all hope is lost. Yep. Right? They've done everything they could do. Their friends have tagged them in all the Instagram videos there are on the subject matter. They're fucked. But it's like, no, I mean, you're not going to take you out back like Old Yeller and fucking bury one between your eyes. It's like, relax. Life goes on. Take a breather. Reassess. Back to work. So I think it's a good time to close it off.
Yeah.
Paying some bills as we do. You know what? No. I'm not happy with the, I'm going to go on iTunes right now and just kind of see where we're at. It's like this, when we say paying the bills, it's like, we don't have really bills to pay. This isn't out of pocket for us. But we do like the feedback. So I'm going to check right now. So you can go ahead and shout out our friends.
Yeah,
and thanks. I'm going to pull this up.
Engine Fitness, check that out, guys. RXD Radio.
Oh, man.
Use that code for 15% off. ENJINFitness.com.
Lunderjack Productions, yeah. All your music production needs. If you're in the Toronto area, please hit him up. And if you're not, hit him up anyways. He's just a nice guy. Dude, we haven't budged. We're still at 10 five-star ratings and still at 4 reviews.
So give us some ratings.
Come on.
Write us some reviews. Yeah. We'd like to hear from you guys. Anything that you guys want to hear on the show, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. Hell, leave it on iTunes. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Just
leave something.
We'll do it. Yeah, even literally. I said it a couple episodes ago. If someone just writes the word to something as a comment, I will shout them out on the show.
I'll take it.
All right. Until next time, guys.
All right. We'll see you later.